I mean, please do be seated. And if you've got a Bible, I'd really appreciate you turning to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, it's on page 75 of the Turquoise Church Bibles. Over these last few Sunday prayer and praise evenings, we've been thinking about the various names of the Lord. In September, we thought about the name Yahweh, I am. I will be what I will be. God is a self-existent, self-contained God who makes promises, who keeps promises for his people. Then in October, we thought about the name Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh, the provider, our Lord who provides, a God who has made us. He knows our needs. He can meet our needs. He delights to hear the prayers of his children who ask him for daily bread and daily grace. Well, tonight we're looking at another name of God, which comes in the towards the end of an Old Testament story, slap bang in the middle of Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to read out verses 8 through to 16, just to get the context right. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." The context is that the people have come out of Egypt not long ago, and God has provided amazingly for them, but they're grumbling and complaining. And so this battle ensues, and Joshua has been called to lead the people. So verse 10, Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write on this a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." God clearly wants the people to remember this. It's the 5th of November. Remember, remember the 5th of November. No, Moses, remember, remember when the Lord was your banner. The Lord is my banner. Yahweh Nissi. It's a slightly trickier one than last time. We all understand what it means for God to provide for us. What does it mean for him to be my banner? We use banners for saying happy birthday, don't we? We have a banner perhaps if we go and see Wales or England at the rugby and we want to celebrate our team. What does it mean to say the Lord is our banner? In Bible times, the banner was a long pole or a flagstaff that was used in military operation. And if you've watched the battle sequences in films like, I know, the Narnia Chronicles or Braveheart, you'll see banners and flags flying everywhere on the battlefield. Your side would have one banner and the opponents would have another banner. Why does the Lord reveal himself to Moses? And by implication, because this has got into God's word, to us all as our banner. Two lessons we're going to draw and then we're going to turn to prayer. To say the Lord is my banner is to say that the Lord is a God who demands your loyalty. He's a God who demands your loyalty. The banner function is a bit of a rallying point for working out which team you are on the battlefield. You can't serve two masters. Jesus said that, didn't he? You can't serve under two banners. You can't fight for two teams. If you are familiar with the musical Les Mis, you may remember the young revolutionaries who are building up a massive barricade in Paris. And Anjolet, who's the leader of the revolutionaries, leads the group in singing. I'm not going to sing it to you. "The time is near, so near, it's stirring the blood in your veins. And yet beware, don't let the wine go to your brains. We need a sign to rally the people, to call them to arms, to bring them in line." And then out comes a massive flag. Red, the blood of angry men. Black, the dark of ages past. And that's how the song goes. The flag demands your allegiance. You're drawn together under the flag. To say that the Lord is my banner is to say I am under him. My loyalty is under his loyalty. The Lord, you see, is not interested in turncoats who stand with him 1 minute and then fight for the other side the next. You can't have a foot in both camps. You just can't do it. You can't do it in the military. You can't do it in your relationship with God. Which means that when this coming week, let's think about this week, when the world says do this, or be this, or think this, and when the Lord says do this, and be this, and think this, the question before us is, who's it going to be? Who's going to hold sway? Under whose banner will you sit? Who will you give the casting vote to? To say the Lord is our banner is to say we have a God who demands our loyalty. He's summoning your loyalty. That's the first application. He's a God who demands your loyalty. Secondly, he's a God who wins the victory. The other aspect to having a banner was that if the banner is flying, then you know that your side has not been defeated. If you've ever been paintballing, or you've played a wide game, you know that capture the flag is one of the most common games you can do. You've got two sides fighting to get the flag of the opponents. And as long as the flag is flying, not only does it say whose team you're on, it says that that team is still in the game. They've not been defeated. If the flag's been captured, the army's been captured. It's been defeated. Conversely, if the flag continues to fly, then your side has won the victory. The other team has lost. But it's not just in paintballing or in wide games where the flag has significance. Who knows the words of this great poem? Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? You know, the American national anthem, the star-spangled banner. And they celebrate the fact that this poem, which was written by Francis Scott Key as part of a kind of a reflection on the Battle of Baltimore in 1812, where the Americans were against the British. And as long as the flag was still flying, then they knew they were still in the game. They had not been defeated. In fact, they had won. Well, if the flag still flies, we've won. A key verse in Exodus chapter 17 again. Moses built an altar, called it, "The Lord is my banner," he said, "because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord." He's there referring to the Amalekites, who are fighting God. And he says, "The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. The Lord, our banner, will never stop flying." In other words, that means the Lord will never stop fighting on behalf of his people. He's constantly in the game for us. He'll never be defeated. Are you encouraged by that this evening, friends? When the fact is, you may face things personally where you feel totally defeated. In your home life. Maybe we feel defeated nationally as a church. Internationally under pressure. Great fears. Be encouraged. The Lord is my banner says that nothing and no one will defeat our God. So tomorrow, after half term, you're back at school. If you stand with God, if you're loyal to God, you know he'll fight for you. On mission. We're talking a bit about mission tonight. You're afraid of what people will think. You stand with God, you know he will fight for you. Back at home. Concern about your family members, relationships, health, you name it. The Lord is my banner says that if you're on his side, then you're on the victor's side. He will fight for you and that flag will never fall. Elsewhere, we know in the New Testament, we've described our times as being in a spiritual battle. At times, it seems like the other side is winning. Where's the gospel flag? It seems to have dropped down. No, God wins. To use New Testament language, 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We may feel that the world is winning and we're losing. Friends, be encouraged tonight. The Lord is our banner. Christ is risen. He's reigning. He's coming back for us. To use Old Testament language, Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He demands our loyalty. He wins the victory for us. He'll fight for us. He'll protect us. Whatever we face this week, he'll keep us secure.